The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday five things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salam alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special. I invite you to be with this program. We're going to speak about dignity in Islam.
You could easily take away everything you've given me. And I try to remember not to take anything for granted. 'Cause I know that one day, suddenly this will all come to an end. So my last wish is for you to be pleased with me.
Today, Wednesday, is the 6th of Sha'ban, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 18th of Isfand, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar and the 9th of March 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we'll look at the verse 139 of chapter An-Nisa.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الذين يتخذون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين أيبتغون عندهم العزة فإن العزة لله جميعا.
Those who take disbelievers as allies instead of the believers, do they seek with them honor through power? But indeed, honor belongs to Allah entirely.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This verse warns all the Muslims not to seek for the disbelievers' glory in all aspects of life, irrespective of economical glory, cultural glory, political glory, and like of them in making friends with the enemies of Islam. Whenever their interest requires, they immediately have out their own most intimate allies and refer to their own affairs so that as if they have never been acquainted with each other. The present era is a clear witness to this fact. Dignity in Islam. Allah is the source and origin of dignity. Absolute dignity belongs to Him, and any other dignity that exists comes from Him, His absolute dignity from whom every other form of dignity originates. In His act of creation, He has given us all dignity. The fact that we are created by Allah dignifies us, and this holds true for all creatures of God. When a celebrated artist paints a picture, the fact that the painting is produced by the specific artist gives significance to it. However, it is important to note that if the painter has hundreds of paintings, some might be considered as more outstanding. Nevertheless, even the least regarded one is given attention and respect, and all the artist's paintings would be on display in an exhibition, although some works would be regarded as masterpieces. Hence, everything created by Allah has dignity, down to the smallest insect and plant. But then, among the creatures of Allah, some have more dignity, and this includes human dignity.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binastain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with self-esteem in Islam. Experts in moral education indicate that this moral virtue is the propelling force for other moral virtues, and it's self-esteem that pushes anybody ahead in accomplishing and gaining more moral virtues. Those great people who have been successful in their lives, they experienced a kind of high self-esteem. Of course, not all people are alike. However, those people who have enjoyed this high position and this high character and sublime jewel in their own character and career, they've been resolute and determined enough to accomplish very noble tasks. Those people who have set for themselves very noble and groundbreaking aims and have accomplished in doing so, they've been really very successful in teaching themselves that they have this element of self-esteem, and they shouldn't live in such a way that, I mean, two consecutive days in their lives are just alike. According to a piece of hadith related from the first infallible Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, man sawa yawmahu fahuwa maghbun. Whoever whose two consecutive days are the same, they would be losers. What does it mean? It means that every day should be better than the previous day. And in this way, we have to improve according to this rule. When this wisdom, this discourse of wisdom is translated in terms of, for example, technology, we find that we are expected to come up with better technology day by day. When it's translated in terms of knowledge, it proves that everybody is expected to be, to provide oneself with better education day by day. Or, for example, in terms of, for example, moral development, everybody is expected, to excel.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
Imam Hussein and Dignity. This is the title of this part from IRIB English Radio and today's special. Imam Hussein rejects submitting to tyranny and enjoys no dignity granted by Allah to mankind. He chose the path of martyrdom in order to defend such dignity and reforming the state of nation. He said, I have not raised for the sake of evil, fun, corruption, nor oppression. I have raised for the reformation of my grandfather's nation. I seek enjoining good and forbidding evil. In another place, Imam Hussein said, Nay, I swear by Allah, I do not submit to you meekly and never escape like slaves. Imam Hussein preferred to die with honor than to live in humiliation with disrespect, because man loses his value when dignity is absent.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran.
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً شكراً يا رب.
Dear brothers and sisters, on the continuation of today's special, we'll look at the tips of dignity and respect. One of the tips is trying to understand others' perspectives. Yes, talking from your own perspective might be okay, but understanding others is important as well. So do not consider your viewpoint to be absolutely right, because there might be something which the other one might have to say. Another tip is be available to listen to people. While talking to people is necessary, listening to them is necessary as well. Stop and pay attention to people and wait to listen to what they have to say. Often all someone needs is a good listener to relieve their grief.
And hence we have a hadith narration that says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never allows a believer to give away his dignity. You can give anything in your life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes believers go through very difficult tests, very difficult hardships. People attack you, You have to be patient in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Life is difficult, but don't allow yourself to be humiliated, to lose your honor and dignity. Never submit to oppression, to injustice, to corruption. Because the minute you submit to injustice, to corruption, you've lost your dignity. Some people misunderstand what dignity is. They think if you want to have dignity, that means no one can say anything about you. People have to come kiss your hand and respect you. No. That's one type of dignity, but that's not the real dignity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for us. The real dignity is to stand firm and not submit to injustice and to corruption. When you look at the life of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, do you know any family in history who was persecuted and harassed and fought and killed more than the Ahlul Bayt? Every calamity befell them. They were attacked, they were persecuted, they even were subject to character assassination. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, for 70 years, Bani Umayyah would curse him in Friday prayer on the pulpit, on the day of Ashura. Just see what happened to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. But I ask you, did those enemies succeed in taking away the dignity of Ahlul Bayt? In taking away their honor? In taking away their karama? Not at all. Look at 14 centuries later. See in the world today, millions of Muslims, probably over a billion Muslims today, in their salah, they have to say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
That was all for today's special. We were speaking about dignity in Islam. Inshallah, we'll continue this topic. But till then, we'll leave you in Allah, the Almighty's protection.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami. علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and let us enlighten our minds and souls with an admonishment from the Prophet's fourth infallible heir, Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him. O son of Adam, man, you are on the right as long as you're admonished by your own self. Care very much for maintaining judgment with yourself, and betake fear as your slogan and caution as your garment. O son of Adam, you will unquestionably be dead, resurrected, and standing before your Lord the Majestic. You should prepare an answer for all of that.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful hadith and narration, which has been transmitted and narrated from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. This hadith is about the reproach of excessive wealth and the hoarding of wealth, which is one of the topics which have been mentioned in the Holy Quran as well. For example, in a verse of the Holy Quran, we read, "Those who treasure up gold and silver and do not spend it in the way of Allah, inform them of a painful punishment." In this beautiful tradition, Imam Sadiq narrates a conversation that Allah and God had with the Prophet Moses alayhi salam. So in essence, this is one of the sacred traditions or a hadith-e Qudsi, in which an infallible a prophet or an imam narrates something from God Almighty, a saying which God spoke and which he said. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, in an intimate conversation, meaning a munajat. Here, the word munajat, or intimate conversation, implies a very close conversation that God had with the Prophet Moses. In an intimate conversation that Allah had with the Prophet Moses, alayhi salam, he said, "Do not envy anyone for having excessive wealth, for with excessive wealth, sins increase in trespassing obligatory rights." In the sense that, this is the end of the tradition. What this tradition implies is that one should not envy long for the excessive wealth of others. If you see somebody who's excessively rich, one should not be envious of him. Why? Because it's a great possibility that with this excess of wealth, the sins of this person are increasing. Right, because the more the person has wealth, the more he might commit sins and trample upon the rights of others in order to protect that wealth or in order to increase that wealth, and in this way, his sins are increasing. For example, the poor, they have a right on this person's wealth. You know, this person is obliged to pay charity to poor people. This is a right that the poor people have upon him, right? This excessive wealth, if it doesn't lead to charity, his giving a portion of it in charity, right? It leads to his increase in his sins. So there's nothing to be envious about with respect to this person. Right, so this is a conversation which God had with the Prophet Moses. In a similar tradition, Imam Ali is reported to have said, "Too much wealth corrupts the heart and produces sins." Right, in the tradition we read, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam alluded to the increase in sins by means of the excess of wealth. Imam Ali in this tradition alludes to another effect of excessive wealth, which is that it hardens the heart. Of course, these are kind of tied up with one another. Production of sins and the corrupting of the heart, the hardening of the heart, these are kind of tied up with one another. One is practical, other is kind of spiritual and theoretical. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the reproach of excessive wealth in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد
وآل محمد وجعل فرجهم. Welcome back. Thank you so much for being with us, respected brothers and sisters, especially brothers here, Minha al-Hussein, especially. And most importantly, Mahdi al-Husseinan.
Yeah.
And most importantly,
not
Hadi,
him.
And
not,
most importantly,
not
me.
Not.
Sorry. Okay. So let's go. We were practicing, alhamdulillah, Suratul Inshiqaq. So because Hamzatul Wasl has a lot of things to be discussed, okay? Like, for example, how should we understand that this word is a verb, this word is a noun? How should we understand? These things are kind of difficult, okay? But we don't need to talk about them because you don't know anything about verbs. In Arabic, it's difficult, okay? No problem, inshallah. You will know step by step, okay? You just need to kind of compare them, okay, to one another.
If it has L, it's
noun.
But
verb is if it verb or this?
Yeah. Alif, lam, it's noun. And if it don't have lam, it's verb.
No. Sometimes it does not have alif, lam, it's not verb, it's noun.
Sir, verb is like this. Zaraba.
That's verb, yes. But zaraba, zaraba, zarabu, they do not start with Hamzatul Wasl.
Yes.
The imperative one starts with Hamzatul Wasl.
Oh, yes, I know this.
Okay.
My father teach me.
So remember, okay? Mahdi, remember if you see imperatives, like idrib, it means hit him. Ittaqu, it means pay taqwa, okay? Or some other verbs like this, okay, they are verbs. Imperative, yes. And they start with Hamzatul Wasl.
Sir, they have 14.
Sir?
Yeah, forms. We say 14 siga in Arabic. Siga. Siga. Okay, siga means form of verbs. Like we have for one person, for two person, for three people.
And bazi muzara.
Okay, inshallah. Thank you.
Yeah,
recite a salawat, alhamdulillah, we have learned this. Okay, look at the top of the page.
Yes.
The ayah from Suratul Mutaffifin.
Yes.
Kalla Inna kitab. Oh, sorry. No. Alal.
Alal.
Alal araiki, right?
Yeah.
Ala. Alif maqsura, but with alif maddi, right?
Yeah.
Ala. Al araiki. How do you read Mahdi?
Alal.
Alal araiki.
Alal.
One more example.
Alal.
Alal araiki yanzurun.
Alal araiki.
Okay, that's great. That's great. So, alhamdulillah, we've learned this. Now, inshallah, we'll start a new topic, which is very important. And it might take maybe 2 sessions or 3 sessions, okay, to learn how to make a pause. Because whenever we want to make a pause, the word might be different. It might end with kasra. It might end with Dhamma, the word, it might end in sukun, it might end in fatha, dhammatayn, kasratayn, fathatayn, okay? Or sometimes...
So all of them they cut.
Yeah,
they,
sometimes with alif maddi, sometimes with shadda. These are different, okay?
So but
we have
hard.
To yeah, pay attention to them. Okay, so it's stopping at the end of words, yes? You but stop at the end of
all people. Of them get sukun.
They are different. Sometimes we do not take sukun. For example, حِسَابَ يَسِيرًا, you change to alif maddi.
Because it has...
Because okay, let's learn them.
It has...
Fathatayn.
Yeah, fathatayn. One fatah will go, one will be there.
So...
What is this line?
This line is...
So, the first point here is, remember that if a word ends with tanween fatha, okay, the tanween fatha is changed to... Alif plus mad, yes. Or alif maddi,
yes.
Like the one we had. How?
But still, they and when they finish in ra, it has one alif
that is the sign of alif maddi. Okay, so how do you say that in that surah?
Yad'u thubura.
Yeah, yad'u
thubura.
Or for example, we have yuhisabay yasira. Or Masruran, masrura, right? Yes. Masruran. Then we have masrura. For example, next one. Basiran. In ayah 15. How do you read it? Mahdi? Basiran. How do you read basiran?
Basiran.
Basiran. Ra, right? Basira. Okay.
Sleepy guy.
The next one, for example, we have. Wait. Okay, in this surah we don't have any more, right?
Yes.
Aha.
Bye.
That's great. So, alhamdulillah, you learned.
قَلْبٌ بِالْحَقِّ تَعَلَّقْ وَبِغَارِحِ رَاءَ تَأَلَّقْ يَبْكِي يَسْأَلُ خَالِقَهُ فَأَتَاهُ الْوَحْيُ فَأَشْرَقْ اِقْرَأْ اِقْرَأْ
Let's recite the Quran.
اِقْرَأْ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
So remember that whenever a word that you want to stop at that or at the end of an ayah, if it has tanwin fatha hadi, you change it to alif maddi, right? You change that tanwin fatha to alif maddi. Find suratul naba.
First.
Page.
Yes, I found that.
582, right? Go to the six ayah number 6.
Yes.
1 minute.
Alam naj'ali al-ardha mihada.
Okay, one ayah you will recite.
No.
Be.
Hadi, the first one. A'udhu billah. Bismillah.
A'udhu billahi minash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Amma yatasawwaru.
What? Bismillah.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Again.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
That's the Arabic Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Great.
The first
okay, read the ayah number 6. So please pay attention. Listen to this.
Alam naj'alil arda mihada.
Ahsan. Mihada. Because he made a pause.
Yes.
Okay, if you do not make a pause, if you connect it to the next ayah, how do you read?
ألم نجعل الأرض مهادا والجبال أوتادا.
Okay, inshallah, we will talk about it. We will change it to mihada. We will say. Okay, thank you. Mihada. Tanwin fatha. When you stop at it, you change it to alif maddi.
Yes.
Minha al-Husayn. The next ayah.
Okay. والجبال أوتادا.
Right. Happy. Happy letter.
Yeah.
والجبال أوتادا
والجبال أوتادا
أوتادا نو أوتادا
والجبال أوتادا
مهدي the next ayah
وخلقناكم أزواجا
أحسن أزواجا محمد يحيى
that's my last turn I'm gonna go see
The next one.
وجعلنا نومكم سباتا.
أحسن سباتا. محمد يحيى.
Is it correct?
هادي.
وجعلنا ليل لباسا.
Again.
وجعلنا ليل لباسا.
We just practice ألف مدي then حمزة الوصل. وجعلنا الليل. How do you say this?
وجعلنا ليل.
وجعلنا ألف مدي plus حمزة الوصل الليل
وجعلنا
الليل لباسا
وجعلنا الليل
وجعلنا الليل
وجعلنا الليل لباسا
أحسن من هلا سين next ayah
okay وجعلنا النهار معاشا
okay now again repeat it
okay
2 minutes really
fix the mistake that you had
I know I have with Hamza This alif, hamzatul, maybe wasl.
That's wasl. Then join them.
وَجَعَلْنَا نَسْنَنَا حَرَمَ عَشَى.
Okay, once more.
وَجَعَلْنَا نَسْنَن. No. وَجَعَلْنَا.
So can I read it?
وَجَعَلْنَا نَحَرَمَ عَشَى.
Mahdi, read it. Listen to Mahdi.
وجعلنا الأنهار معاشا
محمد يحيى
وجعلنا I forgot to say
أنهار read it again listen to it مهدي again مهدي read it again
وجعلنا الأنهار معاشا
okay محمد يحيى is it correct
no I said not
so listen to محمد يحيى listen to him
sure he took a voice in my head he kept on whispering in my ear
okay don't split Listen, Muhammad Yahya, read it.
وَجَعَلْنَا
النَّهَارَ
مَعَاشًا I said that. Now you read
see, it. You said وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ
Okay, you said وَجَعَلْنا النَّهَارَ
Yeah,
right?
you said that.
Sure, he said النَّهَارَ
He just know, he wanted to show you that if it is وجعلنا النَّهَارَ you have to say what?
You have to say nothing.
وَجَعَلْنَا
النَّهَارَ You have to say وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا
وجعلنا النهار
ومعاشا ومعاشا So let's go on and practice together, okay? وبنينا فوقكم
وبنينا فوقكم
سبعا
سبعا
شدادا
شدادا
That's when we make a pause, okay? But when we join them together, سبعا Changes to Sab'an, then Shidada, right? We don't change it to Alif Mahdi.
In Surah Al-Naba, all...
Yeah. وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ
وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ
سَبْعًا شِدَادًا
سَبْعًا شِدَادًا
وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَهَّاجًا
وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَحَاجًا
Okay, so, alhamdulillah, so the rule was this, that if you want to stop or make a pause at a word or at the end of an ayah, look at the word. If it has a tanwin fatha, you change it to Alif, Maddi.
And in Surah Al-Naba, all of them are.
Yeah,
like this.
If you want to practice this.
No, not
the
all.
Best, yeah, the best surah to practice is Surah
Al-Naba.
Also, Surah Al-Nazi'at. وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا غَرْقًا وَالنَّاشِتَاطِ نَشْتًا نَشْطًا.
Nazi'at is so hard.
Yeah,
so
Nazi'at.
I love Surah Al-Naba.
Okay.
It's insane.
So, thank you so much. Inshallah, we'll get back. But before that, let's recite a Quranic salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. During this month of Sha'ban, the month of Almighty Allah's mercy and pleasure, we will try to offer a glance into some of the passages of the whispered prayer of Sha'baniyah, or the so-called Munajat Sha'baniyah. Thank you in advance for staying with us. We'll be back again after listening to some parts of it.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad ilahi. قد جرت على نفسي في النظر لها فلها الويل إن لم تغفر لها إلهي لم يزال برك علي حياتي فلا تقطع برك عني في مماتي إلهي كيف آيس من حسن نظرك لي بعد مماتي وأنت لم تولني إلا الجميل في حياتي.
Brothers and sisters, as you have been previously with us, we were discussing this excerpt of the whispered prayer of Sha'baniyah. إلهي قد جرت على نفسي في النظر لها. My Lord, I have been unjust to my soul, for I have not looked after it. فَلَهَا الْوَيْلِ إِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَهَا It will be doomed if you do not forgive it. Regarding this part, in the previous episode, we concluded that losing the opportunities. It is at first doing wrong to ourselves. But the glad tidings is that it can be made up by Almighty Allah's forgiveness and mercy if the human beings truly repent. The next part says, إِلَهِ لَمْ يَزَلْ بِرُّكَ عَلَيَّ أَيَّامَ حَيَاتِي. My Lord, you have never ceased your favors from me all my lifetime. فَلَا تَقْتَعْ بِرَّكَ عَنِّي فِي مَمَاتِي. So do not cease your goodness toward me at the time of my death. This great Lord is دَائِمُ الْفَضْلِ. His mercy is permanent. He is always giving out blessings to all the human beings. And since this world has not seen anything except mercy and blessings from him, how can it be possible that in the next world, his shower of mercy suddenly stops and he stops giving out the blessings to the servants? And in fact, based on the words of Imam alayhi salam in this part of the whispered prayer, إِلَهِ كَيْفَ آيَسُ مِنْ حُثْنِ نَظَرِكَ لِي بَعْدَ مَمَاتِي. My Lord, how can I despair of your benevolent attention towards me after my death? وَأَنْتَ لَمْ تُوَلِّنِي إِلَّا الْجَمِيلِ فِي حَيَاتِي. While you have always been good to me throughout my lifetime. The one who is benevolent will always be so. The one who is Kareem will always be and stay Kareem. But this Almighty Allah, this great Lord, has saved that great blessing and mercy for the next world and hereafter. And this is another glad tiding for us.
Alhamdulillah, we have been given the blessed opportunity of witnessing another month of Sha'ban, which is the month of Allah's mercy and pleasure. حَفَفْتَهُ بِالرَّحْمَةِ وَالرَّضْوَانِ. Allah has covered this month with His pleasure and mercy. I thought it might be good to have a little introduction to Munajat al-Sha'baniyya. The late Imam Khomeini in many places on several occasions emphasized on this Munajat, and in one of his sayings he said that there are many important mystical points that one can understand from the Quran and whispered prayers of Imams. And then in particular, he mentioned Munajat al-Sha'baniyya, and he said philosophers, mystics may be able to understand some aspects of these whispered prayers. But if someone wants to really understand, must be a person who has himself achieved a high level of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that he can have a taste, he can have an experience of what he says. In another place, the late Imam Khomeini said something very important. He said, this Munajat al-Sha'baniyya is one of the whispered prayers that if someone pays attention to it and follows it and reflects on it, he can reach somewhere. He can achieve some levels of perfection. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us in this month of forgiveness and to be pleased with us in this month of pleasure. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, our families, our community, all humanity with His pleasure, with His reward, with the coming of Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, with forgiveness, with being able to remain always on the right path.
Brothers and sisters, in this part, Imam alayhi salam says, إِلَهِ
كيف آيس من حسن نظرك لي بعد مماتي؟ How can I despair of your benevolent attention towards me after my death? Because the human beings have never seen anything except mercy and blessings, showers of mercy of Almighty Allah in this world. So they cannot possibly think of anything else in the next world. This means we should always be hopeful of the Almighty Allah. This is what the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, states. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مِئَةَ رَحْمَةٍ أَنْزَلَ مِنْهَا رَحْمَةً وَاحِدَةً بَيْنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ وَالطَّيْرِ وَالْبَهَائِمِ وَالْهَوَامِ. The Almighty Allah has got 100 parts of mercies, only one of which is distributed among the creations in this world. فَبِهَا يَتَعَاطَفُونَ وَبِهَا يَتَرَاحَمُونَ. Because of this one mercy, they can have mercy among ourselves. They can live together mercifully. وَأَخَّرَ تِسْعًا وَتِسْعِينَ رَحْمَةً يَرْحَمُ بِهَا عِبَادَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And he has saved 99 parts of his mercies for the hereafter, only for the true servants. Imam alayhi salam is actually teaching us in this part to entertain a good opinion, to have husn al-dhan of Almighty Allah, which is a part of recognition of the Almighty Allah. Allah the Exalted gives to His servants in accordance with their good opinions about Him and their confidence in the vastness of His mercy and generosity. And this tradition from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam is teaching us how vast His mercy will be in the next world. The Holy Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, says elsewhere, invoke Allah while you are confident of the response from Him. Once Allah revealed to Prophet Musa, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi wasallam, whenever you call me and ask from me, I am there to listen to you. And contrary to this, there is the state of despair of Almighty Allah's mercy and the acceptance of prayer. This is one of the things which distance man from His mercy. One may pray to Allah for something, and He the Exalted may delay the response because of His own benefit. But since the supplicant is not aware of what Almighty Allah knows, he starts entertaining a bad opinion, what we call su'adhan, and he despairs of His mercy. And this state of despair would veil him from the mercy of Almighty Allah. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
شعبان بجمالك جلالك زهوبان والعالم يقلك أحبك يا شعبان شعبان بجمالك جلالك زهوبان
شعبان بجمالك جلالك زهوبان والعالم يقلك أحبك يا شعبان
والعالم يقلك يا حبيب
شعبان بجمالك
شعبان شعبان
يا شعبان
يا شعبان أحبك يا شعبان يا شعبان أحبك يا شعبان
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way? All covered up in a world that gives it all away. Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim. دين الإسلام ديني والعظم غير ديني محمد اللي هديني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to be talking about the prayer rules according to the laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching, one can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.